Well, how'd you do, Rob?
Hey, what's going on?
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
How are things going with you, Rob?
Oh, it's just swell. Couldn't be better.
I mean,
fired up, ready to be here. Oh, my God. It's Tuesday night. Everything
is
going great.
But how is your personal life?
My personal life couldn't be any better.
Are you sure?
I take care of business each and every day, and business takes care of me. Things are going great.
Well, that's good to hear. The phone number at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show is 749-1444. Again, that's 749-1444. Please stand by. Our first guest is a professional astronomer, and maybe you've seen him on PBS. He's the Star Hustler from, you see him right, it's on Channel 48, right? And you can see Jack Horkheimer right as they're getting ready to sign off, and they put on the American flag, and they show the skyline of Cincinnati. Right before that, Jack Horkheimer comes barreling out of the sky. His body materializes and rematerializes right there on the rings of Saturn. Hello, Star Hustler. How you doing tonight?
Very good. Lovely weather down here in South Florida.
Now, in South Florida, if you've got lovely weather, you probably can check out the Perseid showers, the meteor shower, at least until the moon comes up.
That is correct. You can see, if you get far away from city lights, you can see maybe a half a dozen good meteors. An hour tonight, just after sunset, well, after it gets dark out until around 11 or so, 11:30, when the moon comes up. And the same for tomorrow night, too, but you really have to be far away from all city lights.
It's probably getting dark out where you're at right now. Are you looking out the window? Have you seen any meteors just yet?
No, I haven't seen, but I'm going to go out in about an hour or so.
It's kind of cloudy here in Cincinnati, and even if it does clear up, the moon will be out, making it harder to see things in the sky. What are the chances that one of these meteors, we won't see it coming, of course, because the moon's up and it's cloudy. What's the chances one of these meteors could hit us?
Well, there's a good chance that several of them, larger ones can, land on the Earth as small pebbles. That's always a good chance. As a matter of fact, about the Earth encounters about 100 tons of cosmic litter in its upper atmosphere every single day. And when we pass through a meteor stream, what we call a path of comet litter left over in the wake of a comet such as this one, we experience more space debris slamming into Earth's upper atmosphere, and we call these shooting stars. Now, if a chunk actually survives re-entry through the Earth's atmosphere, because when these things slam into the Earth's atmosphere, they're going many miles a second, they heat up and they eventually incinerate and burn themselves up, and 99% of them all burn up. But occasionally you get a small piece that lands on the Earth. Back in 1992, up in Connecticut, a rather large chunk went through somebody's house and landed under their dining room table. A couple years earlier than that, a large chunk hit a car up in New York State. So some chunks do survive much more than we used to think maybe 50 years ago.
Well, this past summer, Hollywood's put out not one but two natural disaster movies, big budget movies. They've been doing well at the theaters. Based on meteors or comets or something hitting the Earth. One was called Deep Impact, the other called Armageddon. Now, if something that tragic were to happen, what are the chances that it would happen from the Perseid meteor shower?
Well, not much of a chance. You see, whenever we have asteroid, what we call meteorites, when a large chunk of space debris lands, actually makes it through the Earth's atmosphere, and a chunk of it that doesn't burn up lands the core of it. We think that most of those things came from meteors, a few from comets, but mostly, from asteroids. But most of the stuff we're seeing tonight and tomorrow night come from a meteor, from a comet stream, we call them meteors, or incorrectly, shooting stars. So the chances of something, a large chunk landing tonight, are not very likely.
Well, if it's too cloudy in the area to see Perseus tonight, when's it coming around again?
Well, you can see it tomorrow night if it's not cloudy up there.
It'll be cloudy
tonight.
And
if not,
tonight,
you can see it again next August, around the same day. Our Earth plows right into this meteor stream, the Perseid meteor stream, every single year, right around August 12th.
And the
Perseids, it's fabulous.
Are the Perseids left over from a comet?
Yeah, they're left over from a comet that paid us a visit about 4 or 5 years ago. And as a matter of fact, there were a couple of really nifty meteor showers seen over in Japan. And in Italy, the Earth hit the densest part at the right time. This shower actually has two peaks. But most people don't see meteor showers more because they can't get far enough away from artificial lighting, even if there's no moon out. Our skies are so light polluted that people really can't get far enough away from the city to really see a good light show like people used to years ago.
Even with an image intensifier and isolator?
Right. Oh, thank you. Remember that? No, as a matter of fact, my image intensifier and isolators will not work at all for doing meteors. As a matter of fact, you don't use binoculars, you don't use a telescope, you'll miss them all. Whenever you look at a meteor shower, you just go out and spend about 2 hours outside, lay on your back, and just kind of peruse the sky, look all over the sky, and look for more of what we call shooting stars than usual. I would say that, you know, if you're far from city lights and during the Perseids, you might be able to see in a good year about 6 to 10 bright meteors per hour. But if you see, you know, once every once in a while, you see what we call a brighter than usual meteor, like a bolide, which might even, you know, bust up in the Earth's atmosphere and make a booming sound, a sonic boom. If you see one of these, it's really worth the amount of patience it takes to get through a meteor stream. Meteor showers, watching a meteor shower, we shouldn't call them that at all, they should be called meteor sprinkles, requires an infinite amount of patience. They aren't a quick fix like turning on the TV and getting a 30-second, 90-second sound bites. You have to have a lot of patience, and it's one of the nice things about nature in a meteor shower is that you can never predict what's really going to happen, and you just kind of wait there for nature to do its thing, and it does it whether you're viewing it or not.
Tell me something, Jack Horkheimer. You're the star hustler, and we see you on TVS, on TV, on PBS, and your body sometimes when you're on TV, it rematerializes and dematerializes, and parts of you go flying all over TV, and then they come back together just like a meteor shower. How do you do that?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's not a trade secret. It's, you know, it's they did it with digital computers, you know, and
special effects, eh?
It's all special effects, and it's all a lot of fun. And you know, it's really kind of fun because you have to react and act to these things. And it's I'm a little old for this kind of stuff. You know, if I had to jump up and down off these things, you know, I'd probably break every bone in my body. But since the computers do it for me, I just go along for the pleasant ride.
Great. In the old days, you used to go ahead and dematerialize on your own, didn't you?
Oh, I certainly did, as a matter of fact. It was not painful. As a matter of fact, it was kind of tingly all over.
Well, was this meteor shower foretold in the Book of Revelation, and is this cosmic event going to herald a millennium of eternal suffering and damnation for the inhabitants of the Earth?
Only for those who don't have enough willpower to get off their posteriors and educate themselves.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to a star hustler, Jack Horkheimer from PBS, and in fact, in about 2 hours, maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes, right when we get done with the Chris and Rob show, we're going to rush home, flip on Channel 48, and there you'll be probably telling us all about the Perseids tonight.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure talking to you guys, and I'm sorry it's cloudy out there in Cincinnati, but maybe tomorrow night it won't be.
We'll catch you later, Jack.
Take care, and keep looking up.
Jack Horkheimer, the Star Hustler, here on the Chris and Rob Show. Stay tuned, more to come. 749-1444 is the phone number.
This is Science Report. Today, historical astronomy. Originally, the study of the heavens and the stars and planets that dotted the firmament was more a religious than a scientific endeavor. Astronomical data was vitally important to many ancient cultures, since their agricultural cycle was often tied to the seasons, which were predicted by the position of heavenly bodies. Astrophysicist Kenneth Brescher of Boston University has looked into old astronomical records and has this comment.
Some ancient peoples kept accurate records of the sky. For example, the Babylonians around 1000 BC kept extremely careful records of the positions of the planets, and those were the basis of the tables later compiled by Ptolemy in around 100 AD for computing planetary orbits.
Historical astronomy can make a contribution to current research. For example, a celestial object called Cassiopeia A was thought to be the remnants of a supernova, an exploded star. A fortuitous historical discovery showed that a bright light was seen at Cassiopeia A's position. Says Dr. Brescher of this finding,
the very first astronomer royal in Great Britain, Britain had indeed seen the explosion of the Cassiopeia A supernova and recorded the event on August 16 of 1680. There's some debate as to whether this object that he reported is indeed the supernova. I'm fairly well convinced that it is.
Given the date of this star's explosion from ancient records and estimating the expansion rate of the supernova, astrophysicists have concluded that the original exploding star had a mass about 10 times that of the Sun. According to Dr. Brusher, this is just one example of how old astronomical records can aid modern-day astronomers. Science Report, a feature of the American Institute of Physics.
And a feature of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We love bringing you Science Report because we're not just here to entertain you through the night, but we're here to educate you as well. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together our phone number is 749-1444. We used to call this thing the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Then they moved us up to 10 o'clock at night. Now we just call it, I don't know, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, where the phone number is 749-1444. And Rob, there's a lot of things to talk about this week, isn't there?
There sure the heck is.
You got embassies in Africa blowing up. You got semen stains on Monica Lewinsky's blue dress. What's this world coming to?
And this is the most shocking, disgusting revelation of all. I went to a watering hole last night, and there's this bartender chick working there. And I'd seen her previously wearing a shirt that said, official bitch shirt. And the bitch was spelled out vertically, not horizontally, across the shirt. And then each letter in the word bitch had another word after it, like B, beautiful, I, intelligent, T, talented, C.
Oh, I thought T was going to be something else.
Cunning, and H, horny. No, H was horny.
It was.
So then last night I go into this same bar, and the same chick's wearing a shirt in
it. Hey, hold on a minute.
What?
This is the radio. Are we allowed to say the B word?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the front, it says, there's a little, on the left-hand shoulder, there's a little tire off a car, and it says Ludlow Tires, which is a tire shop in Hamilton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Then on the back, they had the word Ludlow written out vertically, and each word... Each letter in the word Ludlow had a corresponding word to it. L, labia.
I gotcha.
U, uterus.
Ooh.
Isn't that hot? D, dong, but it wasn't, you know. L, I don't know, labia or something again. I don't know what the hell it was. O, orgasm. W, wampum.
Oh yeah.
So for you, they had uteruses. Any what? That is not even like a sexy part of the body. That you don't know what says in. Hey, do we gonna do? Let's go cruising for some uterus, dude.
Hey, Rob, I think it's kind of sexy.
Oh, I tell you, man, uterus turns you on.
So we're gonna have a contest
gross.
Here at the Chris and Rob Show tonight. If you can
uterus
come up with
gross.
A slogan, if you could get a T-shirt and write Chris and Rob vertically down the shirt, and then you know put a word after it. Call, give us a call here at 749-1444. We have prizes galore, and just perhaps, maybe we'll make a t-shirt or a bumper sticker out
you
of
know, the
thing.
Old song goes, doesn't go, hey, we want some uterus. It goes something different.
Hello, Big K, you're on the air.
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay, how you doing?
Pretty good.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, one time I was sleeping, and a meteor fell through my house.
Yeah, this guy's doing a bad accent.
It's all right. Let him continue.
And, okay.
It hit me.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't talk now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then what?
Well.
Then you called a talk show and got hung up on. 749-1444. Do you think we should do this contest? Is it a good idea or a bad idea?
That's an awful lot of letters. Chris and Rob.
Well, you got to use an ampersand for the A. And spell something with it. That's going to be the real challenge. That's what's going to separate the men from the boys here. That's what's going to separate the true intelligent listener from the lazy listening sloth.
Does it have to be a sentence, or can it just be disjointed words such as labia, uterus, dong?
Well, I think it's got to be luscious. Indicative of how wonderful our show is. It's got to be something that says, you know, like the C in Chris could be cool. I don't know. You come up with the slogan here. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, just Chris and Rob will do on the T-shirt, and then it spells what? 749-1444.
We were speaking of science a little bit earlier, and there's been a scientific innovation in the last couple of years that I don't understand at all. I'm sure you've seen them, Chris. They're the pointers that are lasers, you little red laser lights that, like, you're supposed to use in a business meeting or a professor's supposed to use when he's teaching as a pointer stick.
Well, sometimes you put that little red dot on somebody's forehead, and if you've been to enough Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you know that that might mean that you are marked for murder.
Yeah, when they first came out and they were, like, commonplace, you know, the outfielders would go to Yankee Stadium, they'd look down and say, oh, I got a red dot on me. They thought they were being sniped at. Little did they know that every stupid goofball in the country was going to buy one of these things. And I went to the drive-in Saturday night, I don't know when it was, and before the movie started, the screen is just covered with these little red dots. They had to break into the pre-movie announcements to go buy popcorn with threats of violence and persecution of people using the little red laser dots.
Well, I just think it's downright a public safety hazard myself. Because if you are one of these, you know, snipers, one of these professional assassins like they got in the big cities, you know, if you're a pro, you've got one of those rifles with the little laser on it so you know you're going to hit your target. Now, let's say, you know, you're at the ball yard or you're at the mall or you're at the library or wherever you hang out. You know, you're down at Cooters or whatever, and you see a little red dot on somebody. You give them a little shove. That's what I would do. It might save their life.
Or worse than that, say you're a sniper. And you got your red dot on somebody's head, but then, like, every head there has a red dot on it. You don't know, and you accidentally whack the wrong guy. There's your safety hazard. Because most snipers and mafia guys, they shoot guys that need to be shot. So that would be the real safety hazard if some gunman for the mob accidentally shot somebody because we all had red dots on our heads as we were walking around the street.
Therefore, Rob and I will be supporting legislation to outlaw or at least license those little lasers that you can buy at the office supply store that make the little red dots.
You can burn out the retina, too, in somebody's eye. If you like, right. You look at them real quick, and these things are so bright, your pupil doesn't contract in time. They're horribly bright. And I remember I went to the mall on a Sunday to watch football games, or maybe it was a Monday night.
You're weird.
I was at the big sports bar in the mall watching football.
Like I said.
Drinking beer like a real American red-blooded guy. Well, you're at home.
I don't drink beer at the mall myself.
Well, I was dragged there.
I only go to the mall to meet teenage girls.
So at halftime, because this is a mall bar, and this was my only trip there, by the way, that particular football season, because there were guys who painted their face. There were guys in the mall who painted their face to watch the football games on TV.
That's even weirder than
that. That is very weird. It kind of creeped me
out.
That
makes you look normal.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, because it's the mall bar, and it's like, woo, crazy party time. Hey, get down, everybody, having a good time on the big screen. Got the big... So they had to have a bikini contest, like it's hot legs, hot T-shirt, wet T-shirt, big butt, big booby contest.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. But at the same time, it's kind of creepy when you got all these just loathsome, horrific individuals crowded into the same room, and you got these four or five young ladies come out walking around in a bikini. Boy, did the guys have the red lasers out in effect that time. And guess where they had them pointed?
They should be illegalized. They should absolutely be just outlawed right now, along with cigarettes and bad porn. Just get rid of those lasers before they cause any more public safety hazards.
You know, you got your bad. And I don't understand the thought process of, this girl, this pretty attractive young woman, is going to want to have a drink with me, or even sleep with me, because I yelled woo at her as she walked by my car, or where I'm working, or wherever I'm at. But what's the deal with this bikini contest member? This bikini contest contestant is going to want me to bone her because I'm going to put a red laser on her nipple.
Exactly.
Where does that come in? But there are guys sitting around the mall bar eating their chicken fingers, dipping it into their watery honey mustard sauce, yelling woo, and pointing the red laser on some chick's knockers. And you know, I'm there trying to enjoy the knocker. I don't need a red laser in front of it. These guys are,
They're raining on my parade. It's the same phenomena as, you know, all only rednecks chew that tobacco, that kind of tobacco that it eats up of your gums and it makes your teeth fall out.
The snuff, the fine cut stuff?
Yeah, it turns your teeth black first, then after your teeth are all black and rotten and nobody will kiss you, they fall out, so you got to eat pudding the rest of your life. You know, it's because these guys are stupid rednecks who chew this crap. And these are the same stupid rednecks that, dude, look, I got a little red laser and I'm gonna point at this girl's boot. It's the same thing, right?
I don't think it's the redneck mentality. I think it's the hip cool urban guy.
The hip cool redneck.
Well, no, I think it's a lot of guys who think they're like on the cutting edge of technology.
There are a lot of urban rednecks who drive BMWs, wear polo shirts, and go work out at the gym, my friend. They're still rednecks no matter how you slice it. And they all live in Hyde Park and Oakley.
Well, yeah, if we're going to blanket everyone with that term redneck. But I don't think it's too much of your truck driving guys with the red
lights. There are some truck drivers who are the furthest thing from redneck. Because they got courtesy and they got class and got dignity. They got personal dignity and they don't chew that crap and they don't own any stupid little red lasers. You know, if you play with that red laser in the car, you know, let's say you got your kids in the back seat, it's late at night, you're driving from, Cincinnati to visit some relatives and the furthest reach is a Delaware or something. You're driving through the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you start playing with that thing at night. Next thing you know, your kid's pointing it at some trucker. That truck swerves because the guy has got a big red eyeball now. He swerves into your car, runs you off the road. You and your family are dead.
How many people are going to have to die before we outlaw these red lasers?
I don't know, but ladies and gentlemen, if any of our Congress people are tuned in, Foxy Roxy, you're running for something, some kind of office.
She's the mayor of Cincinnati.
Joe Dieters, you're running for some kind of state office too, man. If you guys are tuned in, right? Phil Burris, we know you tune in a lot. And
he hates Jerry Springer.
That's right. Phil Burris, you're concerned about the citizens of the tri-state and the citizens of America and the citizens of the world. If you care enough, you'll start getting some petitions signed to outlaw these stupid little red lasers that everyone's got.
Now, I'm not for violence, but when I was at the drive-in to see Zorro, and they made that announcement, hey, if you got one of those red lasers and you use it during the movie, we're going to throw you out. I was thinking, you know, that's not enough. Let's stop the movie. Let's throw the guy on top of the concession stand. Let's turn all the lights on in the drive-in theater, and let's flog him with the golf club. That's what I was wanting to do. Not simply removing him from the grounds of the drive-in was letting off way too easy. I'd say you put him on top of the concession stand, you hit him with a golf club about two dozen times, and then you charge people 50 cents a shot with a golf club. You give all the money to a homeless shelter. You take care of two good causes with one little handy-dandy event.
More about Phil Burris, the Citizens for Community Values, and their crusade against the Jerry Springer Show in a minute. And more about mutant farm animals if you stay tuned. But first, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. Hello, Joker.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
There are a positive thing, these red lasers.
There are, huh?
Yeah.
You own one yourself?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, one of my friends has one.
He's a bozo, isn't he?
Kind of.
Okay, so what's this, well, you know, what's the good side of little pocket lasers?
You're sitting in school and you put it on someone's nose or a cheek, and they think they got a bug flying around.
They think they got a bug flying around.
That's stupid, Joker. That's stupid, and your friend is stupid, and you should smack your friend right upside the head. And you should say to your friend, get rid of that stupid laser. You look like a dork. Because if he really is your friend, Joker, are you still listening? If this guy really is your friend, and if you guys are true blood brothers like most friends are, like Rob and I, we're real good friends, right? We exchange blood every night. Then you're going to say to your friend, after you're done exchanging blood with me, throw that laser away because you look stupid. You wouldn't let your friend wear parachute pants to school, would you? No, I don't think you would. What else wouldn't you let your friend do, Rob?
Well, it's bad enough the guys who would sit there and they would catch the sunlight with their watch and then try to reflect the sunlight off their watch.
You wouldn't let
your
friend do that, would you?
Oh, Joker would. Joker's the scum of the earth. This is WAIF Cincinnati. It's what radio's meant to be. It's the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. Don't want to be a total negative vibe merchant, you know? Did enjoy the movie, Zorro. That Catherine Zeta-Jones? Wow. She's very pretty. And that Antonio Banderas, he could swastle some buck for you there, boys.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. This is Ziggy Pop.
It's good to see you over there.
Thanks, Iggy.
Yeah. This is a song I wrote. I got really pissed off. I couldn't take drugs anymore. But my mind got blown. So I thought I'd just have to get high on you. Everybody wants to feel high. That ain't no damn crime. Everybody just wants to feel all right whenever they can get away with it. And I'm the same way. And I would never take back all those times I got stoned. And every time I stripped off my clothes. And I'm getting real high on you. Come on now, Andy.
Yeah.
Thanks for raising your hand.
We didn't have that song on for 30 seconds when the complaint calls started coming in. People don't like Iggy Pop. People don't like his language. People don't like the way he looks. People don't like the song he sings, the songs he writes.
I like the way he sings like a man, not like a castrated mosquito like Robert Plant.
Some people especially don't like his choice of language.
Well, he's got a real deep voice and he sings like a man, like a full-grown natural man, not like some sissy boy David Coverdale Fruit Loop.
Jim Morrison from The Doors sang like a man and you didn't like him.
Well, Jim Morrison was a moron. There's a big difference. Iggy's a true artist who follows his muse.
This is the Chris
Jim's
and Rob late-night talk show where the phone number is... 749-1444. Again, that's...
749-1444.
Yeah, and we're taking your calls on a plethora of topics. Well, it's time on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show to go to one of our favorite topics, and that's mutant farm animals. In case I didn't mention before, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. And Larry Farmer from Prairie Dog Town, Kansas is standing by. Hello, Larry.
Good evening.
How you doing tonight?
Real fine, thank you.
Now, if any of our listeners want to call in and talk to Mr. Farmer or Chris and Rob or ask us questions about any of these mutant farm animals, you can call in at 961-8900. So jot that phone number down, and if you have any questions in the course of the next 5 or 10 minutes, you can give us a call, 961-8900. Now, Larry Farmer, what is Prairie Dog Town, Kansas?
Well, Prairie Dog Town is located at Oakley, Kansas, on Interstate 70 between Kansas City and Denver. And it's kind of like a king-size, large petting zoo. And then we have animals that we've got one steer that has 6 legs and a cow that's got 5. And what those were going to be were twins inside the womb, and one body absorbed the other body until time of birth, and then when it come out, well, there was the legs were left on.
So does that mean that your 6-legged steer has like another steer head inside of it, like it's got like in its stomach, it's still got the head of the other steer that it was its brother?
No, the other baby was absorbed through the acids in the womb.
So this was like from some radioactive fallout from a nuclear test that was a top secret test back in the 50s in Oakley, Kansas, or anything like that?
No, we have a lot of people want to know if they come from New Mexico where they fired them bombs off.
Yeah, I got those crashed UFOs out there, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. But
well, are the 2 extra legs useful to the cow, or do they just hang there off the side?
They just hang there, and my vet said something like 1 out of 20 million is born that way, so it don't happen very often.
And you got a 5-legged steer?
A 5-legged cow and a 6-legged steer.
Ew.
And a lot of the people think I have to pay a fortune for them, but when the ranchers have these born, then they find out that they're going to live a long natural life rather than in 2 years be McDonald's hamburger. They treat me pretty fair as far as price, you know.
Well, that's not bad.
And because a lot of these guys in 2 years, everything's running through the hamburger grinder, you know.
And you got the world's largest prairie dog, is that correct?
Yep, that weighs 8,000 pounds.
Oh, hold on. Where'd you get this?
Well, I kind of like made that. I made it so big the elephants don't even get that big, you know.
What else you got there?
Well, we've got buffaloes that a lot of people really like looking at. And we've got 11 kinds of pheasants and 7 kinds of quail, which a lot of people don't realize there's that many species. And then we've got our local type wild animals. We've got badgers, foxes, coons, coyotes, skunks, and deer that a lot of people overlook in the great big giant zoos in New York and Chicago, you know.
And prairie dogs.
And prairie dogs, we're located right on a natural town of prairie dogs. We've had something like 15 TV stations in filming those. because they can get so close. These are kind of like used to people.
What about snakes? You got any snakes out in Prairie Dog Town in Oakley, Kansas?
Not in the town itself, but inside our building we've got several hundred that we try to keep on hand at all times.
Got any rattlers?
Got big rattlesnakes.
Really? What do you feed a rattlesnake? What does a big rattlesnake eat for breakfast?
They eat mice and rats, and then we feed them out here a lot ground squirrels, which is what they eat naturally in the wild, so we get some of those for them.
You know what would be cool?
What's
is
that?
If you get a rattlesnake and you throw a king snake in with it, and then everybody would watch the king snake eat the rattlesnake.
Well, I used to fight bull snakes and rattlesnakes till some environmentalists thought that wasn't too fair.
Those damn environmentalists, what are you going to do about
that? Who wins that fight between a bull snake and a rattlesnake?
I never had a bull snake ever lose. Let's put it that way. And that was what they were complaining about, because the rattlesnake just doesn't stand a chance against a constrictor.
And now, Larry Farmer from Prairie Dog Town, Kansas, I heard that you were about to get into your petting zoo there, the meanest animal ever, the meanest critter that there ever was a critter of.
Well, we're thinking about getting a crocagator.
A crocagator? What's a crocagator?
Well, it's got an alligator head on one end and a crocodile head on the other.
Really? Well, what makes a crocagator so mean?
Well, it just can't go to the bathroom.
Hey, if you want to call in and talk to Larry Farmer from Prairie Dog Town, Kansas, we'll probably have him on the phone here a couple more minutes. 961-8900 is the phone number. That's 961-8900. Larry, how do you get to Prairie Dog Town?
Well, if you're going west out of Kansas City on Interstate 70, or if you're going east out of Denver on Interstate 70, we're kind of like approximately in the middle on Interstate 70, and we have about 30,000 people a summer stop and go through our zoo, and a lot of people, like 10 or 20%, come back every year. They've had so much fun there with the goats and the deer and the donkey and the little animals they can pet and feed.
You're not too far from Monument Rocks, Kansas, either, are you?
No, the Monument Rocks are just 25 miles south.
What are Monument Rocks?
Well, they were created by wind erosion and water erosion, and they're kind of like what we call the elevators on the prairies. They're about 80 feet high, and they're about 40 foot around, and they're just standing out there all by themselves on the plains.
They look like something you might have seen in a country western movie, an old John Wayne movie or something, right?
That's true. A lot of people see those. Come down and visit those.
It's a good place to drink beer, ain't it?
Yep.
All right. Got anything else to tell us about Larry Farmer?
Well,
any other mutant farm animal stories?
I think that ought to be pretty much information for the people.
Well, I think you're going to be the official mutant farm animal expert for the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and whenever we get a mutant farm animal question, we might give you a call.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Will you believe in any of that?
Yeah, why not?
He's got a six-legged cow. It's actually a steer. It's got big old horns.
Does it have big six legs, or like two of the legs little dead?
Well, they're like two little old dead legs, like hanging off the rear stump of the steer.
Was it creepy?
It is kind of. I saw it.
Was it creepy? Did it scare you? Did you get nightmares?
No, but it was kind of creepy.
How's the big 8,000-pound groundhog?
It's stuffed.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's stuffed. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. And if you just tuned in a little earlier in the show tonight, we started a contest.
Mm-hmm.
Rob had seen a T-shirt on a girl, and the T-shirt said bitch, B-I-T-C-H, vertically. And next to bitch, it said...
beauty, I, intelligent, talented, cunning, and horny, or something
like
that.
Yeah, so we're starting a contest. We have prizes available courtesy of Gold Star Chili. And if you can come up with a T-shirt slogan for us where you spell Chris and Rob vertically down the side of the shirt, with the and being an ampersand, of course, and you can spell something creative with Chris, you know, C-H-R-I-S and R-O-B, we're going to give you a prize. Hello, Bart, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay, you got a contender here for our contest?
Yes, we do. Me and my buddy John came up with one that I think will not be topped by the time the night's over.
Well, let's hear it.
All right, the best way for this to do it is I think you guys should get a pen and write out Chris and Rob vertically.
We've already done that.
We've got a big chalkboard in here. It's like fifth grade, man.
Excellent.
So let's go.
All right, you ready?
Go.
Letter C, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Letter H, Hates. H-A-T-E-S.
Hold on. Hate, okay.
Chris,
no.
Hates.
Hates.
R is for?
Rob.
Rob. I is for?
N.
N.
S is secret.
Secret. And what about the ampersand?
Ampersand is the ampersand.
Okay.
And then the next, the R is Rob's, Rob apostrophe S.
Okay.
On.
On. And B?
Booze.
So all together that would say Chris and Rob would spell Chris, hey, it's Rob in secret and Rob's on booze.
Exactly.
Keep working on it. Thanks.
We don't get a chili.
That's not very funny. 749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Show.
There were their frowns when they leave this town, angered by muckrakers like you. That is it. Paul Dougherty demonstrates irresponsible journalism. The day that I can't outfight and outright Paul Dougherty, bring Stacy Moving and Storage to my rubber room.
I don't know how to reply to that, but I tell you what, I don't know if you could outfight him. You might be able to outright him, because I've seen what you look like, really. You get out of breath bending down to tie your shoes.
I get out of breath bending down and tying my shoes.
Yes. I mean, you're not in the great physical shape that you want.